Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
I am just so pleased and honored to get to be here with you today. Anybody here today never seen me before? All right, quite a few of you. All right. Well, I have, as Pastor has already said, we go back. We go back a long ways. We go back to him being a freshman in high school. And I can tell you, as I stand here this morning, I've went over and over in my mind, what stories would I like to tell you today about your pastor? Because we've experienced so much that the stories are almost endless. And then God reminded me that of all the stories that I have about your pastor, as numerous as they are, he has as many to tell on me. And then the wisdom of the Lord settled on me and said, be careful. So I'm going to be careful in the story that I want to tell you about him today. But I don't know if you know this, but your pastor will eat anything. And when I mean eat anything, I mean eat things that should be condemned. Several years ago, as we were traveling around the country, we were traveling in a converted van that was part van, part bus. It had school bus doors, and it was really a low way to travel. It was not comfortable. It was just one of those, you know, this is what we had, and we made the best of it. And I think we were in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, at a Bennigan's restaurant. Have you ever ate at a Bennigan's restaurant? It's a pretty good place to eat. Well, we had been taken there to eat by a church, and after we were done, believe it or not, pastor had not completed finishing all of his food. I know that may be hard for you to believe, but he actually had some left over. And he was not about to leave it in the restaurant. So he got a to-go styrofoam tray and put his sandwich with mayo and all kinds of stuff. He puts that into this little tray, takes it on our bus. We travel the rest of the weekend, get home, and he forgets that it's there and doesn't take it home. A week later, we get on that little bus van to take off, and you could smell that sandwich because it had been hot summer. I'm thinking, we need to throw this away. No. Ashley said, we can't throw this away. It's still good. After a week of sitting in over 100 degree weather, he takes that sandwich and eats it. I kid you not. Isn't that an exciting story to tell? Amen. Suffered no ill effects. Amen. We're talking about healing today, so I thought that was probably a pretty good story to tell, because if anybody needed healing after that, it was him. Anyway, aren't you glad to be in God's house today? If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture that's pretty familiar, Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read something that probably all of us here today know by heart. But I want us to take a look at it once again this morning with fresh eyes. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 19. It says, go therefore, Jesus is speaking here, by the way, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Probably everybody here has heard it. But I want to focus in on this little word today that sometimes we overlook. It's the word all. I want you to take a look at this Scripture again. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Everybody say all.
All.
All. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all, not some, not part, not the things that you like, not the things that make you comfortable, but to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, I just did a little, I found a little illustration on what the word all means, and I want to read this to you. The word all actually means you, me, us, them, those, they, somebody, anybody, everybody, they all, you all, y'all all, you and you-ins, Broncos and Chiefs, honchos and thieves, Eastern, Western, Northern, Southern, old school, new school, Protestant, Catholic, Yankee, Confederate, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Republican, Publican, Democrat, Aristocrat, Copycat, Sewer Rat. Daddy, Mommy, Capitalist, Commie, Ponchos, Gringos, Hippies, Yippies, Yuppies, Groupies, Hotheads, Potheads, Skinheads, Corporate Heads, Bald Heads, Redheads, Figureheads, Deadheads, Romans, Greeks, Computer Geeks, Upper Class, Lower Class, Middle Class, Lots of Class, No Class, the Butcher, the Baker, the Candlestick Maker. Let's skip on down here. You'll like this. Hot and cold, young and old, rich or poor, Bush and Gore. Fat kids, skinny kids that climb on rocks, tough kids, sissy kids, even kids with chicken pox. Kids that like to run and jump, President Obama and President Trump. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. I think you get the idea today that when we're talking about the word all, it encompasses everything. Nothing left out. Now, I find that when I get to speak on the topic of healing, that it's almost comical to me because I am probably the one person that if you were to take a look at, just looking at me, looking at the shell, you're probably thinking to yourself, if anybody needs healing, you're the guy. And so probably you're thinking to yourself, well, how much have you got to say on this particular topic? It looks like you need to go study a little bit. Let me tell you my experience. Since there's a bunch of you here today that have never seen me before, I've been through the ringer of life. I've been through so many things. At the age of 6 years old, I had an unfortunate accident. I slipped underneath of a riding lawnmower. My left leg was cut off right below the knee. So I've worn an artificial leg for most of my life. My dad was a basketball coach when I was 6 years old. So this was a real identity change for me. I went from being a kid who wanted to play basketball for his dad to being a kid who was labeled as a handicap. A kid who was labeled with all of these things that he could no longer do. And I felt sorry for myself because of that. And so my mother, realizing that I wasn't going to grow up to play basketball, bought a piano for $25, sight unseen, had delivered to our house, had me take piano lessons. I didn't want to do that, but I eventually graduated high school with a scholarship to college playing classical piano, moved from there to Branson, Missouri, got a job in the music shows, and by that point, I had a new label. I was a piano player, and I made my living as a piano player, and then Ashley and I had this dream of singing in a gospel quartet, and I was working at Silver Dollar City by this point. Found out that they were wanting to have a resident house gospel quartet. So we got together, we auditioned, we got the job. God blessed us with being the group there at Silver Dollar City for a lot of years, a group called Chosen Few. And so then my label got to add, you know, piano player for a gospel group. I got to serve the Lord as a piano player. My whole identity had changed. And, you know, life's going good. I'm on top of the mountain. And then I get knocked off the mountain. Anybody here this morning ever been knocked off of a mountain? We were on our way to sing at a church. It was a Sunday morning in the middle of January, driving down the interstate. And I was in my pickup truck. This is before we had the bus. And I was in my pickup truck. We're caravanning down the interstate, and I hit black ice. See, it was January 16th, 1994. I hit black ice, spun out of control, ended up in front of a semi-truck. Couldn't get out of his way. He couldn't get out of mine. He hit me. I got tangled up in the seatbelt. Broke my neck at C2 and 3. And as you can tell, paralyzed my left arm from the shoulder down. Lucky to be alive, they said. I had internal injuries, suffered a partial stroke. But as you can tell, it left me with my arm unable to move. Permanent damage, they say, to the brachial plexus. And so I had to learn to do life all over in a new way. And I had to do it in a very public way because everybody's eyes were on me. Being at Silver Dollar City, I can remember they had to do neck fusion surgery on me and put me into a halo brace. And then in this halo brace, they screw into your skull in four different places. And here I was having to go back to Silver Dollar City, and not in some nice air-conditioned hideaway dark theater. No, Silver Dollar City, gracious to let me come and work looking the way that I did, stuck me right in the center of the park on the gazebo. And it was hot. And everybody's eyes were on me. And I remember thinking to myself back then, I've got to put on a good face. You know, I'm an entertainer at Silver Dollar City. I've got to put on a good face. But inside, I was struggling. Inside, I was struggling because my whole identity was now being uprooted because I didn't know any one-handed piano players, and I was having to learn to do, you know, life in a completely different way, and I felt sorry for myself all over again. Anybody here ever felt sorry for themselves? If your hand's not up, you're probably lying in God's house. I felt sorry for myself because this is not how I envisioned life. I felt like I'd already been through enough in losing my leg, and now my arm's paralyzed. And so we continued to sing. We continued to sing. And I'll never forget, one of the guys that we sang with for a few years had this bright idea. Brian, I want to take you to a healing service. And not just any healing service. A well-known healing evangelist who was at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, let me tell you, I grew up in a denomination that thought all of that stuff had pretty much faded away. That healing was just one of those things that was just kind of up to what kind of mood God was in and how good I had been. And I hadn't been very good. In my eyes, I'm like, yeah, oh, you know, but he was insistent that we go. So my experience, we get into this big coliseum, and I'm telling you what, they were singing and praising, and I mean, music was fantastic. We're up in the rafters of this place, and the choir had to be about 1,000 people standing behind the podium. And they sang, and they sang, and they sang, and then the evangelist comes out, and it's time to take an offering. And he takes up a big offering. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just kind of doing a little math there, you know, because, I mean, this is a lot of people. And so I'm in the flesh, and I'm counting, thinking, man, he's making some money here today. They take up the offering. They do another song. He comes back and says, you know what? How many of you here are looking for a healing today? And, of course, I'm like, yeah, I'm, you know, me and half the Coliseum are better. Well, you need to sow into that healing. So he takes up another offering. Now my eyes are about like this because I'm thinking, man, I don't know how much money I got to give to this guy. I give, you know, write a little check and give. Finally, he gets down to the business of healing. Starts talking about healing. I'm about half in this sermon. You know, because I'm busy looking around. I'm busy looking at what everybody else is doing. And I would suggest to you today that if you're looking around to see what anybody else is doing, you've got your eyes on the wrong place. You've got to keep your eyes on what God's doing. I didn't do that. I was busy looking around. But he got to that crucial point. If you're here today and you're in need of healing, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to walk down to a designated area where we've got some people that would love to pray with you. And, of course, the guy I'm with is like, come on, go. You need to go. So I get up reluctantly, and I go, and I'm standing there in my little line waiting to see this person. And I'm just, you know, watching and watching. They come and they pray for me, and they're praying and they're praying, and nothing happens. And I'm just like, okay. And the person says, well, you know, you just need to continue praying in faith and go on. And we'll, you know, I'm like, okay, that's it. So now I'm standing around and I'm just watching as they pray for other people. And I notice they've got all of these wheelchairs and air tanks and things. They're all lined up there. And, you know, and when they would get prayed for, if they got their healing, they were invited up on the stage with the healing evangelist, who would then announce the healing. Well, they'd leave their wheelchairs, their air tanks, and everything standing here in the side. Well, somebody had gone up on the stage, announced their healing, and then suddenly needed their air tank. And so I'm like, nah, this is nothing. This is nothing. This is a show. This is a show. And I went back to my comfortable way of thinking. If God wants to heal me, he knows where I'm at. If he gets in a good mood, a good enough mood towards me, if I do something good enough for him, I'll get my healing. Well, Ashley can tell you, we traveled church after church after church. And I've been in just about every kind of church you can imagine. If they preach Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, there's a good chance that Ashley and I, we've been in that kind of church. And it was always fun because we grew up in a particular denomination that was pretty much reserved, quiet. But man, when you got the opportunity to be in one of those Pentecostal churches, man, those people knew how to appreciate music. And we were there to do music for them. We were there to worship with them. And it was always exciting. I'll never forget, we were in a little God's Powerhouse church in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, it was so fun when that church broke loose and decided that Ashley needed to come down and speak in tongues. He grabbed a hold of me with a death grip and yanked me down to the front with him. But we got exposed to all of these different ways of thinking, different streams, if you will. But I was always a target for a church that wanted to pray for healing. And we were in a church outside of Independence, Missouri. And they were a praying church. And they had a stage that was probably about this high off of the ground. And we were up there doing our music. The invitation time came. And typically, in Chosen View, I did the invitation music. I played the piano, even with one hand, because nobody else in the group played the piano. Now, Casey knew about three chords, if he was lucky, if he could remember all three of them to put them together. But I was the guy. But invitation time came, and people are coming forward for prayer. Well, here they come to pray for me. Brother Brian, come on down here. We want to pray for you. And I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? Say no? I'm not going to say no. Sure, I'll take prayer anytime you want to give me prayer. So I stepped down off the stage. Casey got behind the keyboard and began to try to keep the music going for this nice solemn time of invitation. And I'm down there, and here they come. Pushing. They're pushing on my head. They're pushing on the back of my knees. They want me to fall down. I grew up in the church. We didn't fall down. But they're really having a good time trying to get me into that position. So I think, why not? I'll give them what they want. I fall back. The three guys left in Chosen View's eyes about this big around. They're like, oh my gosh, what just happened to Brian? Well, I'm laying there. They walk off and leave me. So I'm just laying there and I just open my eyes, look up at the guys and wink at them. They could have killed me after that was over. And then back in about, 2008, I was doing ministry in Tennessee. And I would come home to this particular lady's house that runs my ministry office, and I would come to her house after a service, and that's where I stayed. And we always would turn on TV, Christian television. And at this particular time, there was a revival that was going on every single
night. And this guy that was the evangelist was the most obnoxious speaker I had ever seen. And he had tattoos and piercings, and he's on every single night knocking people over on the stage. And it would annoy me, but I kept turning it on. I'm like, I don't know why I'm watching this, but it's like, I don't know what he's doing, but they've got him on TV every single night. And I'll never forget one particular service. He's praying for somebody, they fall down. He turns around, he prays for somebody on this side, they fall down. He backs up, forgetting there's somebody laying on the floor here, trips over him, go, oh no. And then he says, oh, did you see that? The Spirit of God just about knocked me over. And I'm thinking, the Spirit of God had nothing to do with that. You tripped over the person on the floor. A month or two later, I've got a trip scheduled to go out to North Carolina. See my sister. She lived out there at the time. Actually, still lives out there. And God showed me that this obnoxious preacher was going to be doing a healing service on the way to that church. And he says, I want you to go. God, I don't want to go. I saw him on TV. That was enough. I saw another guy, and that was enough. I've been prayed for. I don't mind taking prayer, but I really have no desire to go and see this guy. Lord said, I want you to go. He kept on me, kept on me, kept on me. Finally, I'm like, okay, God, I'll go. I'll go. So I went out a day early on my trip just so I could go to see this obnoxious evangelist who didn't look like anybody that I would be friends with anyway. And I get there the night before, and I decided I was going to drive out to where the church is so that I would know where I was going the next day. So I drive out, and this happens to be at the old PTL building. Now, I don't know if you know what the PTL was, praise the Lord, but it has a reputation. And even though those particular people are no longer, you know, in charge there, this is what's in my mind. I have a preconceived idea. Oh, great. This is where this is. But I drive out there so I know where I'm going. And I pull into the parking lot. I have literally driven about 12 hours. And I get there in the parking lot. And a guy on a golf cart comes up going, oh, are you here for the breakout meeting? No, didn't even know you were having one. I'm here for the meeting that's tomorrow. Guy says, oh, no, you need to come in. We're having a breakout meeting. It's going to be, it's awesome. Oh, no, brother, I've driven 12 hours. No, come on. He won't let me leave the place. So I'm like, okay. I park my car. I go out and I go in. And they're doing music, praise and worship. Oh, man, it was awesome. But I'm standing in the back. You know, the back of the auditorium. And I'm just standing there watching. And then the speaker gets up, which is a different speaker. He gets up, says, folks, tonight what we're going to do, we're going to pray for people that are in need of healing. Matter of fact, what we're going to do is we're going to empower you to do the praying for healing. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to look around the auditorium and see if there's anybody that's in need of healing. Great. Here they come. Can we pray for you? Yes, you can pray for me. But this time there wasn't any head pushing. Nobody pushing on the back of my knees trying to get me to fall down. They just prayed. They prayed for a little while. And then one of the people that was praying for me said, do you mind if we bring you down front to the front of the auditorium so we can pray for you, surround you, and pray for you down there? Well, now my defenses are down a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I'm willing to do that. So they bring me down front. Now, this is kind of, the best way to describe this is it was kind of like a mosh pit at a concert. There's all kinds of people down here praying and being prayed for. The worship team is up there. The music is going. The lights are low. They bring me down front, and it's not a production. I am not the center of attention of what's going on in this service. I'm just one of probably 400 people that's down front wanting to be prayed for. They begin to pray for me. Nobody's pushing. Nobody's trying to knock me over. But as they began to pray, suddenly it was like a lightning bolt came out of heaven with electricity that hit me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and bam, I'm down on the floor. I had no idea what had just happened. I had never experienced anything like this. I mean, I'd seen people, you know, fall in church, but not me. I grew up in a denomination. We don't do that. We don't even talk about that. That even makes sense. I'm on the floor. I don't know how long I'm on the floor. But finally, I'm a little woozy, and I'm starting to set up. And they help me up, and they're like, "I feel good." And I said, "Uh-huh." And they stand me up, and this lady walks by. Again, I'm not paying any attention to me. There's hundreds of people down front. But she just brushes my hand as she passes by, and that electricity hit me again, and bam, I'm back on the floor. And I don't know how long I was there. But I finally got up. Service is coming to a close. I'm stumbling my way out to my car. I thought, I'd never been drunk in the spirit, but this is probably what it was, you know. Because that's how I was walking. I got back to my hotel, Motel 6. Not the place to stay, but anyway. I got back to my hotel and I laid down on the floor. And half of that night, those shocks, that electricity began to course through me. I didn't know what it was. I had never experienced anything like this. But it began a journey with me because I realized there was something going on bigger than I could even begin to imagine, bigger than I could begin to wrap my mind around. So it set me on a journey. I want to know more about this. Next day, I went to see the guy that was obnoxious. I don't even remember what he spoke about. That wasn't why God had me go. It wasn't to see that guy. It was to experience what God wanted to do. I would suggest to you tonight to be obedient to God even when it makes no sense. Even when it goes against everything you think you know. If you know God's speaking to you, you better say yes. And I began this journey. And it took me right here to Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. And he's got his disciples around him, and he's got a word for them that I'm sure is much like when a parent leaves their child at home for the very first time by themselves. You ever done that? And you get your children around you because you're getting ready to leave. And you want to give them some words. Don't do this. Don't do that. Here's where you get a hold of me. And then you get to the last of that speech as a parent, and you're saying to this child that you're getting ready to leave by themselves, and you say, if you don't remember anything else I've said, you remember this one thing. So I just kind of picture this is kind of what Jesus was doing with his disciples. If you don't get anything else, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all, not just some of what I showed you, not just the stuff, Peter, that you found comfortable. All things. Now, folks, probably everybody in this room knows the Lord's Prayer. And you've probably prayed that prayer many, many times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that the Bible tells us that there's no sickness and disease in heaven. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. I like to add lawnmowers or semi-trucks in heaven. There's no more cancer in heaven. There's no more divorce, no more bankruptcies, and praise the Lord, no more presidential elections in heaven. No more death. And Jesus taught us, this is the type of prayer you need to model. That my Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I began to think about that. And I began to think about the fact that there wasn't any of this sickness in heaven. And then I went over to Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 that tells us that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Then I went to 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus who himself bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By his stripes we were healed. And then I went to where Jesus sent out his disciples and gave them power over sickness, disease, over demons. And then I go back to Matthew 28. And I'm looking at this and Jesus is saying, now everything I've taught you, everything I've taught you, I want you to go. And I want you to make disciples. And I want you to teach them what I've taught you. Now, I want to give you an illustration here this morning. Josh, would you come up here? I want Josh, would you mind helping me? What's your name? Cherie. Melanie, how about you come up here? And what's your name? Yeah. Rayanne, how about you come up here? You all would be just good. Now, I tell you what I want you to do. I want us all come down on this end of the stage, and I want you to face out this way. And today, Rayanne, you get to be Jesus. Isn't that exciting? So, this is Jesus today. Now, I want you to turn and look at Melanie. Melanie, you could turn and look at Rayanne. Now, Jesus is saying to a disciple, here's our disciple, one of the first, standing there right before Jesus is ascending into heaven. And Jesus says, go, make disciples, and teach them to observe all that I've taught you. Pretty simple, right? Now, Melanie's job is to go and make disciples. So turn around. Cherie, Melanie's now going to tell Cherie what Jesus taught her, right? So you go, make disciples, and teach them to observe all that Jesus taught us. Right? So now it's the same message that Melanie got from Jesus. Now, Cherie, turn around. Now, Josh. Now, see how this begins to spread? Your job is to make disciples. You make a disciple of Josh. You're telling him, go. Make other disciples. Teach them to observe all that Jesus taught us. The message isn't any different from Cherie than it was from Jesus. Does this make sense to you? There's not any difference. Y'all can go sit down. Thank you so much. Yeah. There's not any difference. The word is still the same. The word is still the same. I believe today that we have gotten to a place where we pick and choose what's most comfortable for us. And that's where I was. I had grown up in what was comfortable for me. But see, the Bible tells us that we're actually to go and lay hands on the sick, pray for them, and see that they be healed. Mark chapter 16 is very clear about this. These signs shall accompany those who believe. Laying hands on the sick, they shall recover. So this was a journey that God sent me on. And I'll never forget being in this church one time, and I was preaching, and God said, you need to pray for sick people. What do you mean I need to pray for sick people? I want you to pray right now. I'd never done anything like this. So I said, you know, I'll be obedient. God, if there's, you know, if there's anybody here that needs healing, won't you come? And this 16-year-old boy comes down the aisle. He had been weed eating. He had a piece of barbed wire, ended up in his eyeball, had to be surgically removed, left with a permanent hole in his eyeball, had to put drops in his eyes to control the swelling. This kid comes down and says, I've got pain in my eyes. Will you pray? I'm like, sure. I lay my hands on him because this is what the scripture says. We lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I took authority over that sickness. In the name of Jesus, I command healing upon this eye. What happened? Nothing. He goes home, I go home. But 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from his foster mother who informs me that they had to take him to a new doctor who analyzed his eyes because, see, he was a foster kid. Couldn't find a hole in either eye. Matter of fact, had to throw the glasses away. He had 20/20 vision at that point. Now, obviously my faith level begins to rise. Next time in a church in Madison, Georgia, same thing. Lord says, pray for people that are in need of healing. So I said, anybody here today needs healing? Won't you come? I had a 10-year-old boy. He comes down. He says, I'm blind in one eye. I lay my hand on that little boy. I command that blindness to go in the name of Jesus. This is not legally right. Why? Because the Father's will in heaven, there isn't any blind eyes. See, I know the Father's will. See, that's what's critical. And so I lay hands on him. And I say, you're not supposed to be blind. I command eyesight to return. What happened? Nothing. But the Holy Spirit wasn't done. His mother happened to be there. And I said, why is he blind? Well, he's got a disease. It ate the optic nerve away. Oh. Now I've got more information. We need a creative miracle. Lay my hand back on his eye and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is not legally right. We need a creative miracle. I'm commanding an optic nerve to grow right now. And in the name of Jesus, I command eyesight to come back to this boy. That little boy right there in that little church in Madison, Georgia, got his eyesight back. Began to see with an eye that didn't have an optic nerve. One more story. I got a whole bunch of them I could share. I'm sitting on my front porch talking with a Baptist music worship pastor, telling him my stories. He just happened to be visiting from Virginia. He's like, well, that sounds pretty good. Why don't you pray for me? And I knew he had some unbelief in his heart. But God's bigger than unbelief. He said, I've got carpal tunnel in both my hands. Will you pray? Same thing. I prayed, taking authority over that carpal tunnel. Why? Because that's not in heaven. I prayed for the one hand, 100% release of his hand. He got it back. Went to the other hand, he got 90% back. By the time he got back to Virginia, he was 100% healed in both hands. What am I saying? God is bigger than you think he is. So let's go back to the question. Is healing for today and is it for me? Because you're looking at me going, well, Brian, you obviously need a healing. Why isn't God healing you? I've got three words I want to give you today. You might want to write these three words down if you've got a pen or a piece of paper. Because the next time the devil tries to question your faith, tries to get you to question what God has said, I want you to write these three words down because this is what I stand on. You ready for it? Three words. I don't know. Listen. Hear me this morning. Part of the beauty in our relationship with God is the mystery. In learning to be comfortable in what I don't know. But what I don't know doesn't change what God has said. What I don't know doesn't change what God has said. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It doesn't change that we need to be obedient to lay hands on the sick. See, I believe one of the biggest things that's been robbed from us by the enemy today in our evangelistic efforts is the fact that we don't pray for healing. Oh, well, we'll bring them to a healing service maybe. Have you ever been in Walmart and seen somebody that obviously needs to be healed? We've all been there. And let me tell you, it takes faith to go up to somebody you don't know and say, I'm a Christian, and the word tells me to pray for those that are sick, and I obviously see that you are struggling today. Would you mind if I pray for you? That takes faith. See, the devil wants to shut that down. Well, there's no way he's going to do that. God's not going to do that in Walmart. God's not going to do that at the gas station. God's not going to do that at school. God is looking for opportunities to bring heaven to earth. And there's only one way heaven's coming to earth, and that's through you and I participating in the kingdom of God. That comes from us being obedient to the word when it doesn't make any sense. Folks, for the last few weeks, I've been trying to get medical doctors to tell me what's going on with the numbness in my foot, the numbness of what's left in my left leg, the numbness in my right hand. I got to the bottom of it. They don't know anything. But my God, the great physician, knows it all. But here's the thing. It doesn't keep me from trusting God over what I think my experiences show me. My experiences say, well, maybe healing is for everybody else but me. No. I go to the Word, because the Word says that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And even when I look in the mirror and everything says the opposite, I don't trust that. I trust God. I want you today to trust God. I want you today to go on a spiritual journey just like I did. Don't expect it to happen just overnight. Don't run up to the first person and start praying. You get in your prayer closet first. And you start working on your faith, and you find out what the Word actually tells you so you can stand on that, because that's the only thing that will not pass away. And then you look, and God will begin to open opportunities for you to manifest the kingdom of God. God is looking for people today that will make themselves available. Not perfect people. Not people that say, you know what? You heal me, then I'll go. He's just looking for you to come. He's just looking for you to come. If you're here today and you need healing, I want you to come. We're going to pray here in just a moment for people. But more than that, I want you to really consider, do you have that kind of faith? Are you willing to stand on what God says even when everything else doesn't make sense? Are you willing to trust and learn to trust even more with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding? Because it didn't make any sense why God would choose to take a guy with the use of one arm and one leg and a numb hand and all this stuff going on and say, I want you to go preach about healing. I don't know. But I rest in the mystery. It's okay with me. I don't want to know it all. I don't want a God that I can figure out. I don't want a God that I'm smarter than he is. I want a God who's got enough mystery that's like, you just follow me. You just keep your hand in mine. We'll keep on walking. Let me show you some things. I'll show you things you never dreamed possible. I ask you to stand this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I thank you that you're a God of mystery. That you're bigger than we think you are. That you're better than we can possibly imagine. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would put in us a desire to know more of you. A desire to be obedient even when it doesn't make sense. To have faith. To understand that we're never going to know it all. But our job is to walk with you. So Lord, I pray today that we'll make commitments to continue to walk with you, to walk out our faith, to be open to hearing your Spirit, lining that up with your Word, and going and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in your name, the name of your Son, the name of your Holy Spirit, teaching these disciples to observe all the things that you've commanded us, knowing you'll be with us every step of the way.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.